Have a seat. This morning, I want to talk to you, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to be maybe a little casual, and it might be a little bit more of a testimony than it would be of a sermon. I enjoyed my time at Howells Anderson. I came here as a bus kid, and man, I've told you before, I was broke, I was poor. Best thing that ever happened to me was my dormitory room burned, because then Brother Howells gave me money, and I mean, kind of quadrupled the amount of clothing I had and so on after that fire here. When I was here in college, I would frequently hear people talk about, you ought to want to do great things for God, and you ought to want to have God moving you, and you ought to want to finish your college career having seen God do something in your life. And by the way, that was true then, and it's true today. You ought to want to see God work in you. You ought to want to see God work through you, and you ought to want to see God partner and work with you. And I would sit there, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I would say, well, I'm the least, and I don't have the personality, and I don't have the background, and I don't have the godly heritage, and surely enough, I mean, God can't use me. I read a book by Brother Hiles called Meet the Holy Spirit. And in the book, Meet the Holy Spirit, he talks about as a young man asking the Holy Spirit to guide him. And as a young man asking the Holy Spirit to be with him. And I thought, well, if he could pray it when he was young, I thought I would pray it when I was young. This morning, I'm not talking or preaching necessarily on the subject of the Holy Spirit, although the Holy Spirit is a very vital part to what I'm going to talk to you this morning. We've been in meetings for the last few weeks on youth conference. And the theme for our youth conference this year is the Great Summer Revival. The Great Summer Revival. And in these meetings, Brother Lapine and myself, Brother Judah, and some other people that are involved in those meetings have been talking about revival. Sometimes when people talk about revival nowadays, they talk like it's something that happened yesterday and not something that can happen today. We always go back and talk about the great revivals of the 17s and the 18s and the 1900s, and yet we can't point to a recent revival. We can't point to a big movement. This morning I want to talk to you just a little bit about my heart about revival. About revival. A desire and a want for revival. By the way, we always need revival. Man, we always get apathetic. We always get tired because we're weary doing things in the flesh. We have the flesh is never satisfied, and it overwhelms us, and we need to be revived on a regular basis. In just a few weeks, we're going to have our teen revival for the Chicagoland teens, and that's an amazing time. Boy, the kids respond. Then a few weeks later, I'll get to go preach a teen revival like I have many times, and I've seen God work. I've seen God do some amazing things. I've been at camps where altar calls have lasted for hours. I've been to churches where teenagers that were downright rebellious and would never have anything to do with God turned their lives around. I've seen it happen. I've seen revival here as a college student. I've seen men praying in dorms late at night begging for the power of God. I've seen men get together and just transform an area of Chicago because of revival. I've worked with Brother Douglas for many years back in the day, and we saw big days with hundreds and thousands of people come to be saved and to know Christ. And I can say that I've seen revival, but have you? I know I'm a little bit older, and Brother Francis, surely he has seen his time of revival. But I would hate to think that I went to a Bible college, the premier Bible college in the United States, the Bible college that promotes ministries, the Bible college where the students don't sit around on weekends, they're knocking doors. At least most of you are. There's one or two of you little squirrels always hiding in little holes. I never see you in church, but you're here. I have no idea why. But a desire for revival, a desire to see God do something. What could happen if you would get under the influence of the Holy Spirit and you would allow God to work through you and bring revival? There's a Sunday school that needs revival. Every week walking in there, and it's the same dead message and the same dead lesson and the same outcome and nothing new. There's a Sunday school that needs revival. There's a bus route that needs revival. a bus that's half filled. And I'm not talking about the seats. I'm talking about the people. I mean, half filled and nothing happened. There are young men in here that are empty. Have never seen revival in soul winning. Have never seen someone accept Christ and be discipled and be transformed and become a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you happy to continue living like that? Because if you're living like that, then you're living like the rest of the world. We have a popular Christianity that is a powerless Christianity. And I don't know about you, but Billy Sunday said when going to the Pacific Garden Mission, his pulpit is still there, and he said, I refuse to live a powerless life. And that man saw a great revival. I believe revival can still happen today. Well, you read Acts chapter 2, to see 3,000 people saved from all sorts of different backgrounds, nationalities, tongues, colors, to see an incredible outpouring of the Spirit of God, to see churches started, to see people overwhelmed by God where they wanted God not just on Sunday or Wednesday. The Bible says, and daily and in every house. When you get overwhelmed by God, it's not a two-day-a-week thing, man. It's a 24-7, 365. It's you always want God, and you can never get enough of him. History tells us of great revivals. 1734, Jonathan Edwards in the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, produced a revival that spread through those small towns. It was all started because he won a woman to the Lord who did not have the best of reputations. He was worried about talking to that woman and what people would think. And he followed the Holy Spirit's leading, and he led that woman to the Lord and then went on to preach what started a great revival. It is said that 80% of all the people in the colonies heard George Whitefield preach the gospel. It is said that Charles Finney had over 500,000 people saved during his time of revival. In the Fulton Street revivals in New York City, it says that Jeremiah Lanfear, a businessman, had seen over 1 million people come to know Christ. Jeremiah Lanfear was just a businessman. His pastor came to him and said, and we have 30,000 men living in debauchery out here in the streets of Manhattan. He said, would you start a prayer meeting? And Jeremiah went out to the streets and he said, do you want to pray with me? Come to a prayer meeting with me. Come to a prayer meeting with me. And men would reject him. His first prayer meeting was six people. And six people caused one of the greatest revivals known as the Fulton Street Revivals. During the Civil War, men had become so morally broke. Men had become so against each other. Brother hating brother and hating neighbor over the Civil War. And yet a great revival broke out. D.L. Moody led what was called the Urban Revivals in Chicago and Philadelphia in the 1800s. In 1900s, the Great Welsh Revival was started by a young man named Evan Roberts, 26 years old. And they said, you're too young. You're not experienced. You're not intellectual enough. And yet he started what's now known as the Welsh Revivals. The 50s, the 60s, and the 70s saw Lester Roloff and John Rice and Jack Hiles promote and have revival throughout the country. Just in the last year or two, there's been a great revival down in North Carolina that is now known as the Burlington Revival. I'm glad you get to hear about all those revivals. But have you ever been a part of a revival? Has God ever worked in you in such a way that just like Jeremiah Lanfear said, he said he had to ask God to please stop the revival because they just couldn't keep up with the people that kept coming. I submit to you this morning that there is a revival that is waiting to happen. I submit to you this morning that there is a God that wants to bring revival. Revival is not dead. God is not dead. His work is not dead. It is powerful, and it is just waiting for a man and a young lady to submit themselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you the question, do you want revival? Do you want revival? Are you tired of a meaningless relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you tired with a relationship that kind of checks off the box everything you need to do on a daily basis with God, but do you really have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Meaningless relationships. No prayer. No time in the Word of God. Nobody saved. Bus routes that are dead. Lessons that are powerless. Do you want revival? There's a powerless Christianity. There's a defeated life. The flesh is never satisfied. You keep trying to change yourself and you keep trying to do things different, and yet you live a defeated life. We need a revival. We need a revival. We need a revival because of our rebellion. Our rebellion is probably the greatest thing that is hindering true revival from taking place. We need revival because of our disobedience. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's to everyone that doesn't go and win someone lost to the Lord when you know you ought to be an obedient soul winner. But most of all, we don't have a revival because we're apathetic. Because that thing on your lap right now, you're looking at that phone or that iPad rules your world. Social media dictates what you do. If you would look to God and ask him to bless you as much as you look on those electronic devices, I wonder what God could do. If you want revival, be prepared. A need for revival brings restlessness. I know there's young men and young ladies right here, you want revival because you can't sleep. You go on your bus route and it's not enough. You go on your bus route and you feel just like you are so absolutely inept to be up there. Boy, any men that's ever seen revival or seen the Spirit of God work will tell you there are seasons of restlessness. There are seasons where everything just bothers you. The secular talk bothers you. The priorities that people bring your way bother you. And there's a restlessness because deep down inside, you want to see revival. And deep down inside, you want to do something for God. There's a need for revival brings restlessness. Proverbs 18:1 says, through desire, a man having separated himself. You're going to have to separate yourself. Well, I know there's young people on here, men and ladies both. There's not a week that goes by where you don't want more of God and you don't want God to do more and you don't want to see God do something through you. You're restless. I've been there. It's like preaching in chapel or pastor asks you to preach in church. Trust me, we ain't sleeping for 3 days. Pastor comes to you and says, would you preach a Sunday night service? Oh, and that's 3 days. No, the Wednesday one is 3 days. The Sunday night, that's a whole week I won't sleep. You're like, what am I going to say? I'm Ricky Torres. I say some crazy things, you know. God, I can't say them there. Can't use my urban dictionary, you know. Got to be all prim and proper. There's that restlessness. Have to separate yourself. A need for revival will cause people to revile you. They'll criticize you. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. Nehemiah's building the wall. And yet he has those that come to him and say, you're foolish. Stop that. Folks will look at you and say, what are you doing? You're going to hurt yourself. You better stop that early morning praying. You need some sleep. Hey, well, what are you doing? You better not fast because, you know, you're going to get sick. Boy, in true revival, when a person seeks out revival, he is going to be criticized. People are going to think there's something wrong with you. People are going to attack you. Now you see why we don't have revival. We don't have revival because we're too concerned about what people think about us. Ain't nothing wrong with being crazy for Jesus. Now, there's something wrong with being cray-cray, just cray-cray crazy, you know, but ain't nothing wrong with being crazy for Jesus. I am done with trying to get people to like me, or I'm done with trying to get people or my changing so that people can like me, and tone down your Christianity. No, don't tone it down, tone it up. If you want revival, be prepared for a restlessness, for a separation. If you want revival, you better be prepared for people to revile you, criticize you, talk about you. What's he doing? He's trying to build the biggest bus route. Yeah. Oh, he's never going to do it. Well, he's never going to do it with you or by you, but he's not counting on you or by you. He's counting on the Holy Spirit of God to do it. Need for revival will cause a hatred for sin and a love for God's word. Need for revival will take you, and it's not just once a week, but it's daily and in every house. A need for revival, as in verse 13 of Acts chapter 2. Others mocking, there's going to be mocking. A need for revival in Acts chapter 2, verse 19. It says, and I will show wonders. God's not going to show wonders in revival if you're concerned about what people think about you. If you're concerned about your convenience and your comfort. If you have your little pet sins and pet peeves and little things you do. And by the way, why would God bless you if you're not doing things that are close to his heart? If you're not winning people to the Lord, why would God bring a revival in your life to do what? If you are not going after the things that are after the heart of God, why would God bless you? What is revival? It's an uneasiness. It's a spiritual frustration. It's a longing for more of God. Some of you are in relationships. You make time for her. You make time for him. Do you make time for God? Some of you can't wait to get with each other and talk. How was your day? How are you doing? Can't wait to send little cute, you know, emojis to each other and love you, miss you. When's the last time your heart just longed to get something from God? To get with God. I'm not for skipping classes, but I'd rather you skip a class to go meet with God than to go take a nap. It's a frustration, and these men up here know it's an uneasiness. It's a longing for more of God. It's like you're never full. It's like, God, I want more of you. God, I want you to work through me. God, I want to see you do something. Young people, I submit to you that there's still possible to have revival. The days of revival are not over. People will tell you, hey, we live in this, you know, this time of different ages, and the age of revival is over. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And by the way, I do believe this. I do believe that if revival is going to start, and I do believe if revival is going to happen, it's going to happen with this group. There's a lot of good Bible colleges. None have the ministry fervor like you do. None have the soul winning emphasis like you do. None have the missions emphasis like you do. I'm going to ask you five real simple questions. Number one, where do you want revival? Where do you want revival? Now the answer would be, well, I want revival in the U.S. I want revival in the world. I submit to you that the first place you ought to have revival is in your dorm room. You want to grow across the street without going across the room. Start revival across the room. Then go across the street. Then go across the state. Then go across the nation. Then go across the world. Don't ever expect revival to start unless it starts what's near you. That dorm room. So where do you want revival to start? On your bus route. On your bus route. You know, I don't like when people talk about the bus routes from yesteryears. Because you know what? I'll say what Brother John has said. I'll say what Brother Ray Young has said. I'll say what Brother Dave Douglas, these are all ministry men that worked in the bus ministry. It is not the area. It's the man. Where do you want revival? You say, I want it in the U.S. I want it in my home church. I want it in the world. I submit to you that you start revival in your dorm. I submit that like-minded people would get together and say, would you pray with me for revival? Would you pray that God would do something? Would you pray, please, that God would come and that same power that we read about in Acts chapter 2? The Bible says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Wouldn't it be awesome if revival would come and that, man, it's so much easier when the Holy Spirit of God does the work. I ask you this morning, where do you want revival? Second, why do you want revival? I love that verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 19, and I will show thee wonders. Now, listen, I think some of you want revival because you want a bigger bus route. It's a wrong reason for revival. Some of you you want revival because you want people to think of you as this great young preacher. Wrong reason for revival. Some people, you say, well, I want revival because, man, I sure like for people to notice me and I like for people to think that I'm this great man of God. That's a horrible motive for revival. Your desire for revival is so that God could show himself. Your desire for revival is that, as the Bible says, he must increase and I must decrease. Your desire for revival is so that you can become sensitive to the things of God. Where do you want revival? I submit to you that it starts in your room. Why? So that Christ could receive the honor and the glory. Not for our sakes. Next question. Who do you want to join you in revival? Yes, most revivals start by one man being burdened. But as I read through those eight different revivals that I mentioned here, they always drew like-minded people and said, could you come pray at noon, the Fulton Street Revival? Can you come pray at noon, the D.L. Moody Urban Revivals? Could you come pray with us, the Charles Finney Revivals? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, and there appeared unto them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, and they were all filled. In Acts chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and they were all amazed, all plural. And listen to me, wouldn't it be awesome if you got a hold of somebody and said, would you join me in praying for revival? You know, you want to see a sign of our apathy and lack of revival? Go to a prayer meeting. Go to a missions prayer meeting. I go to a church prayer meeting every Wednesday morning, 6:30 in the morning. There's about a dozen of us that meet there. Revival is never going to happen outside of us getting a hold of God. Never. So I ask you, who do you want to join you in revival? You ought to write down a list of people. And you ought to say, I'm going to ask this person to join me in praying. And this person and join me in seeking God's help. And this person in praying that God would do something. Who do you want to join you in revival? Last question I have for you is, when do you want revival? If you walk into the dormitories of the Moody Bible Campus, I've been there many times. I have a cousin that taught there for many years. They have an old building. I think it's called Crow Hall or something like that. And you walk in, it's dormitories, and there's this big etching of a globe. And it says, if not us, then who? If not here, then why? Or if not us, then who? If not now, then when? And if not for Christ, then why? I submit to you that revival can happen. This is not a sermon for a program, but you understand that in less than a little over a month, we begin a campaign. Once again, we fill buses. Once again, we have extra effort. Wouldn't it be awesome to go into a program with revival? Most of us do not go into a program with revival. We leave it with regret. It's what God could have done. It's what we missed. It's the person that didn't get reached. It's the neighborhood that's going to hell. It's the bus kid who'll never know what it's like to be loved. It's the family that'll never be reached for Christ. College students, I've seen revival. I've been blessed. I've seen it over and over and over again. But have you? Do you want revival? Or do you want to just keep living that apathetic, self-centered life. More concerned about what people think. More concerned about what people say. Say, where do I start revival? In your dorm. From that dorm, it'll spread to the halls. From the halls, it'll spread to the community. From the community to the state. The state, it'll spread to the country. The country to the world. Lastly, I want to say this. I told you about the Edwards revival, the Whitfield revival, the Finney revival, the Lamphere revival, Fulton Street revival, the Civil War revivals, the Moody revivals, the Welsh revivals, the Roloff Rice Hiles revivals, the Burlington revival. How about if there was a Hiles Anderson?